Recording. Hello, everybody. This is September the 17th. I believe, yes, September the 17th, 2023. And we have come to a point in our lessons that we are going to be able to finish up Article 1. So we are in Article 1 of this Book of Revelations, and we got all the way up to finished 102, verse 102. So we're going to be starting with verse 103. I sent some things out that maybe we could focus on discussing, unless somebody else has some ideas on each of the verses. I really do want to try and finish the class today, but I don't want to rush people through it. So let's go ahead. We are starting in a different little vein right here. These last verses are kind of a wrap up and kind of is asking some questions. And I think they're fairly good things to ask ourselves about. So starting in verse 103, who would be able to read that for me?
What page is that on, Jeannie?
Okay, it's on page 140 in the Book of Revelations. I think the big question through all of these are is like, are we ready for where we're going, the path we're on, and what's happening? So verse 103, I think Russell raised his hand to read it.
Sure. Not going beyond what you cannot understand, but only as far as the Spirit will grant you to reach. For there are mysteries of my gospel that will not yet be revealed until my people are ready to receive them in their entirety.
What do people think about that? Are we ready? My answer is that I don't think we're ready. But I also kind of said, you know, what is going on right now? What is this verse alluding to? Are we like being challenged? Are we being the Harry Potter when they put you in the sorting hat and decided where you were going to go? Is that kind of where we're at the moment? Are we being taught that we have to be stronger in being with the Lord? I don't know. What do you think?
I think we're going to see serious trials that are going to be a sorting process.
Okay, that, and I see that kind of already happening to a lot of people. I don't think they're going to stop. I don't think the trials are going to stop.
Yeah, you wrote the question. Are we ready? Because I don't see the question now.
Well, I'm just kind of asking that, you know.
Yeah, in
It's
the email. In the email you asked the question.
okay. I
Because
need to pull up because I don't remember what I put in the email.
are we ready for that? Well, oh yeah, until my people are ready to receive them in their entirety.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if we are ready, yeah, that is up to us, I think.
Right. Apparently, it's saying we have to make some changes.
Yes. And Mauricio once quoted 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Which says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So, I think, yeah, we when we all know what we can work on for ourselves, I think.
And I think that scripture is interesting in that normally we think of being in the faith as being in a church, in a religion. And we think that, oh, well, if everybody's happy with us in the church, then we must be okay. And it totally misses the point.
Okay, what was the verse again?
2 Corinthians 13, verse 5.
Okay, thank you. So, what about verse 104? Michael, can you read that one?
Yeah. But what I let you know beforehand should be given to my chosen servant, Joseph Frederick Smith, and his assistant, which I think is Bob Moore, only at the opportune moment when I reveal it to you. One cannot restructure the church. Oh, do you want me to just do 104?
Keep going.
One
Yeah,
cannot
you
re
can.
Okay. One cannot restructure the church and rescue those who belong to me without properly considering that great and abominable church that bears my name. Quotation marks blank.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's referring to the church in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder why the name was left out, but
Well, that's common that Mauricio does that. He'll put a dash and when he's left out some stuff.
or does he mean all of the scattered branches of the restoration that have, apparently gone astray? Is that what he's referring to, or just the one?
I think it could easily be both.
Oh.
Well,
Well,
106 talks about the church.
I guess
Okay.
106 answers the question. I can keep reading.
Yeah.
Okay.
This I just saw the name Brigham Young, so I'm this church, which in previous days of time was led by my servant Brigham Young, was also usurped in all covenants made with me, the Lord, and ultimately led my people according to the precepts of their own hearts, taking on an air of greatness all over the world, as many know Mormons through their missionaries, recognized because of the black nameplates in the pocket of their shirts. This will serve as a signal and recognition of the dark side from which their agents come. In contrast, the missionaries and church elders you are taking out of the darkness must have a similar identification, also with nameplates, however white, displayed in the pockets of your shirts. So yeah, I guess that
Verse continues that.
when was the Utah Church organized well enough to have the missionary training centers and the whole program with the missionaries going out, both women and guys going out over the world? How long has it been that they've been doing that? Not the early ones, just the actual structured part of it.
At least 1940s, I don't know.
Okay. So I'm kind of like, it's taken, I mean, yes, I know that everyone recognizes the Mormons. I mean, they see them walking down the street two by two and slam the doors. But how long did it take to get to that point? And how long will it take us to get with the white? Or maybe we're not even going to get that far before the Lord steps in and starts opening people's hearts better.
Yeah, I just looked it up. The current MTC in Provo, Utah was built in 1978, which was incidentally, that was the year I was born. But they had before then in 1925 in downtown Salt Lake, the MTC in a building adjacent to Temple Square.
Yeah, that's the building I went to when I went on my mission in 1968.
Okay.
Yeah, so almost a
And thank
hundred.
you. Thank you for that, Russell, because we cannot forget that it's awesome that there were missionaries of the LDS Church that were going around the world. That is why Harm got in touch with the Mormon Church, you know. So Yeah,
Yep.
it's also a great thing.
Yep, that's why this verse was actually a little confusing to me. So maybe you guys can shed some light, because my understanding has been through John Pratt that, you know, that they have accomplished what they were supposed to do by flooding the world with the Book of Mormon. So, and I can see here that there is some arrogance. They're taking on the air of greatness over all the world. So there definitely is kind of, you know, this attitude that we are the ones that only have the truth. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I appreciate if you guys shed some light on what this means exactly. And so does that mean at some point we're supposed to be doing the same thing, but with white name tags? I'm a little confused.
In Brazil, they have the white name tags.
Oh, okay.
In the Netherlands, too.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because you got
two,
it in Brazil.
Two people.
And,
I didn't get a name tag when I went to Brazil.
No. Which I find interesting.
I got a shirt, but I didn't get a name tag.
Got the t-shirt.
I find it interesting that the Lord called him my servant, Brigham Young.
Yes, that was another thing that I thought was weird.
Yeah, but the Lord lets all these things exist. In Egypt, you know, he could have easily destroyed the Pharaoh, but he made that happen so that that people could build faith, I think.
Well, I think it's like Nebuchadnezzar. He was not a righteous king, but he received these revelations about the image and so forth that Daniel interpreted. Later on, he went through a time where he got repentant. I mean, he lived a pretty, he was eating grass for a while, but he came back. So yeah, the Lord can use whoever he needs to, and I think the sending the saints to Utah, even though I think Brigham Young was terrible in the things he did with the polygamy and so forth, and a lot of the other things he did, he preserved the church outside the U.S. for a while for them to build themselves up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had the same thought. You know, the Lord still calls him his servant. He can make use of him despite all of his flaws and the, you know, false doctrine and stuff that he introduced later on. And like you said, Suzanne, that John mentioned that the LDS Church in Utah did have a mission to fulfill and has fulfilled it. I guess is still fulfilling it with its missionary program and flooding the world with the Book of Mormon and getting the name out there. I don't know if there comes an end point to that, or if that just is an ongoing thing, but I take it to mean that the Lord is using whatever he can, right? Whoever he can gather to do their portion of the work. He calls us all servants, his servants.
I don't know. Just anyone who instituted polygamy, I personally don't see as a servant.
Well, and we may try to pat ourselves on the back because we're called a servant, but we have to realize that it may not be that great of an accolade.
There we go.
Okay. Hello, Bill. Hi. We are on page 141 in verse 106.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. How can everyone? It's good to see you. Listen, I have a guest visiting from out of town. I got a little hung up. I'm probably going to bail out here pretty quick too. So, okay. But it's great, great, great to see everybody. And appreciate all the things you guys are doing.
Maybe we should have Bill give his insight on this verse 106.
Did you ask Michael and Russell?
Michael did. While he's looking that up, I think just if we go to those first three, four verses, lines, if we take out the which in previous days of time was led by my servant bringing up, take that out and read. This church was also usurped in all covenants. I found that part very striking. Made with me, the Lord, when and that ultimately led my people to taking things into their own hands, making it more led by man than by God. Joseph Smith in that part is just a servant, but the whole church changed.
Well, I do have a quick commentary on that about, in response to Suzanne. My own personal experience was when I, and I think Michael was there too, when I started studying the lectures on faith, I thought this is a very profound document, and it really, applying the principles of this will really change my life. And then I discovered that the LDS Church had removed it from the Doctrine and Covenants. And I saw an analysis of that. And the analysis was about the regression of religious writings. And it talked about how organizations form and then they alter the fundamental principles over time. And so that really made an impression upon me. Like, why did they remove the Articles of Faith? It was a key document in understanding the purpose of the church and what it was that we were supposed to accomplish. And so that was sort of the beginning of my the unraveling of, wow, things aren't maybe going that well in the church. And then I remember I was a Sunday school teacher, and I would lay awake at night on Saturday actually being just tormented because I was going into Sunday school to teach from the Book of Mormon, directly from the scriptures. And I got persecuted for this. The state president got involved to analyze my Sunday school material to make sure the references were accurate. For heaven's sakes, it's the Book of Mormon. So this stuff all started to kind of rock me. And then I came across the last dreams of Joseph Smith.
What year was that?
That was in 2009, something like that. Then I came across the last dreams of Joseph Smith, and that was it. That's where he saw the dream of the barn, which was the church, and it had been taken over by a bunch of thugs. And then also, personally, I spent 25 years working in government, and I had seen the same thing happening in our government organizations. And so all these things led to, like, okay, I'm throwing in the towel. And then that led to finding the sealed book and the records of the Nemenha and working with people like you. So praise the Lord. That's my comment.
So what's your status in the LDS Church now?
I work with a bunch of politicians. So this is what happened. So I relocated up here. And so it's nothing happens in politics by accident, and most of it is just a staged play. You know, they laid stuff out. You know, it's supposed to, you know, like whatever, this conflict with China or whatever it is. That's not the real deal. There's something else going on, and it's about money, power, and influence, and power. So what I did is I relocated up here, and I just stopped going. I had to get my kid baptized. I had a young kid, so I went to the ward, got permission. Then I went out to Utah and had the kid baptized, and then I just stopped going. But I switched over, and I get the address that they had. And man, that was kind of interesting. Disconnecting from your user ID, which by the way they farmed out to a private corporation. That was another red flag for me. I used to supervise technology. They farmed out all of your personal information, your log information, all your location, all that information to a private company operated in San Francisco. Like, what the heck? What about my security and privacy? So what I did is I redirected my address, phone number, and all that other information to my PO box. And so they have no idea where I live or what I'm doing. And they tried to follow up with me, on a couple occasions, but just no reply. So I'm still in standing with the church, which is where I wanted to be, but I'm not participating and I'm not involved with, in terms of the activity of the church. And I feel like I'm just in a holding pattern until the Lord cleanses the church. And I think all of the churches will be gathered together under one umbrella, which is the leadership of Jesus Christ. That's my story.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, have a great day. Thanks for popping in.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay.
Hi, Robert. Yes, hi, Robert. Welcome. Glad you're here. We are on page 141 on verse 106. Let's go back up to 105 for a minute, where it says one cannot restructure the church and rescue those. At first, I'm thinking, wait a minute, the Lord's told us he's not restructuring the church. And then here it says right here, you can't restructure the church and rescue people without. So it sounds like he is going to restructure. But that is not what that is saying. Does anybody want to take a stab at that? What do you think that?
It depends on what is meant by the church. I think it's the Church of Christ that needs restructuring, because all of the other churches are gone astray. So we need to get back to the church, but there needs to be some restructuring. Because in the question you asked, Jeannie, I think you thought we're going to restructure the LDS church and rescue mm-hmm. those. But I don't think that is that they meant that the LDS church is meant.
So you don't think it's the LDS Utah church?
No, in the first sentence. Because okay. in the last sentence, the abominable church, that I think that is the LDS church.
Anybody
at least that's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah. So the original church of Jesus Christ, which was restored with Joseph Smith, is what we're going back to. The purpose of the restructuring to take us back to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I hadn't thought about the others. I had just, LDS Utah is just the closest to me. And that's why I had focused on that. But you're right. And since it says that they messed up all covenants, that's interesting that maybe we should search more of that out at some point. The thing about the white and the black name tags was more to me like the change between Satan and Jesus, and how we need to get people to go back to putting Jesus first. But Satan's very good at confusing us.
I want to share something. Talking about how all the covenants were changed and lots of things were changed. I'm going to share. Well, let's see, I better move this over on the other window. And then share this document that Von Hughes put together. Yeah. And just quickly go through it. He talks about how things were changed. The church, offices in the church, presiding patriarch was changed, the second comforter, the idea of it was changed. The Book of Mormon, kind of how we deal with it, who the Gentiles are, the scriptures, doctrine of the church, the nature of God. You know, that you talked about lectures on faith earlier, and you just don't, it doesn't agree with what they've put in with DNC 130 and so forth.
That was the part of the Doctrine and Covenants, wasn't it?
Exactly.
So they took out the doctrine and left just the covenants.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But even the covenants, they've changed some of the ordinances and so forth, prophet, infallibility.
That's what Bill, I was a little confused, because at one point Bill said, the articles of faith. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I don't think they've taken those out.
No, no, no. He made a mistake. He meant the lectures.
Right. The lectures on faith.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's That's seven.
Yeah.
So when did they take those out?
1920.
Wow.
And the reason they took them out is because it conflicted with DNC 130 and then the nature of the Godhead. And so they couldn't resolve it, so they just took it out. So anyway, this is too much to even look at, hardly. But he just goes through all kinds of things. I thought he even talked about like the sacrament and but I'm sorry. I know you can't see this because I'm going too fast. Oh, here's ordinances.
That just keeps going on and on and on. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, it's really disturbing.
Yes, indeed.
Russell, is this something you put together?
No. Where?
You can get my webpage. It's on the my page, and if you go to Gospel Topics on my webpage, it's Changes in the Church Established by Joseph by Vaughn Hughes. I'll send out a link to it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. It's very, very hard these days to kind of get through the shell that LDS people have.
And this is the thing that, you know, because I think I've shared, I have a friend, Richard, and I have several other friends that a girlfriend I went to dinner on Saturday. And I have a lot of friends that are, they know things are wrong and they know things are off and they know, but like, because of like that you just showed how much deception, like so many of them. And I'm going to be honest about myself. I'm just kind of like, I'm so done with organized religion. That's how all my friends feel. They're just like, there's just so much confusion. There's so much, you know, manipulation and take this out and take that and just, oh, we're going to add this because, you know, like, so I'm just kind of sitting here going like, where do I turn for peace? You know, like where, because I'm wanting to share some of these things that I've learned, but not everyone, but the majority of people I'm encountering are just like, I'm done. I'm just done with religion. So they don't want to hear about another book. They don't want to hear about another leader that lives in Brazil. They don't, you know what I mean? They're just like, and so I'm finding myself just like, just feeling confused as to what the Lord wants me to do personally. Anyway, I'm done.
Well, and this is something I just said to Michael. There's going to be a time in the very near future when the LDS church will be disrupted and then a lot of people will be looking for, where do I go now?
Yeah, I mean, I see that it's already happening and maybe not as profoundly as it will, but
so let me just ask this question. We've got Russell, Michael, Suzanne, Lisa, Mark, and I used to be in Utah. I think so Balkia and Bob, maybe you can think this now that I'm in El Paso, I see this difference. Do you see the same thing that Suzanne just kind of described where you guys are, or are they more open to you?
It hasn't trickled down yet that the LDS church is not as fun as it used to be. it's more happening in Utah. I see it on social media. Like, are there any people left? I wonder sometimes. Of course there are, but I see a lot of people who are really done with religion. I sometimes react. Or sometimes I talk about the sealed book on Instagram, for instance, and people are like, well, be careful with this man in Brazil. Why would you want to follow him? You know, a sentence was, "Thank you. I just came out of a cult. I don't need another one." So yeah, this is and of course also the high demand religions like the LDS churches, like if you don't have anything to do, then well, they give you something to do, of course, because everybody needs a calling. But I can also imagine that people are like, okay, I'm out of the church, and they're just happy to have their Sundays back and just feel free about that. And yeah, I can relate also. But yeah, there will come a time that people will wanting to turn to God again. Yeah, so. And it's up to us, I think, to testify. So just planting seeds. Also, Suzanne, just to keep talking about it so people know that they can get more information when they want to, you know?
When they want to, yeah.
Before Bob responds, I want to just make one comment about Utah and the LDS Church. The LDS Church in Utah is different than the LDS Church every place else. I've lived in Utah more than once. And been out in Arizona and Oregon and other places, and it's not the same.
Yeah. Also, remember, here in the Netherlands, we have like 18 million people living here, and like 9,000 people are LDS. So it's really, really, really small.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. Florida for 14 years, and I lived in California, and it was very different. Very different.
Which also, I'm sorry to break in, but which also means that when you're talking to people out who are LDS, but don't live in Utah, they don't get some of the things that are going on. They are either, I'm done with the whole thing, or, oh no, you're wrong. None of that's happening. So it's quite different. Bob, quickly, got a comment?
My mic is on. I didn't realize it was on. Sorry about that. Oh, I don't know what to say. I'm just listening.
Well, tell us about the RLDS and their remnant groups and so forth. Are the people there sensing a change, or are they staying true to the scriptures, and what's going on?
Oh, I think they're true to their beliefs.
Okay.
We got a lot of ites here, a lot of different camps. And people tend to stay in their own camp. Just interesting. I didn't go today. I felt like I needed to stay with my brothers and sisters. But the last 2 weeks, I think it was, I went to the Church of Christ temple lot. You've seen pictures of it there. That white church on the temple lot itself. And I was very impressed with it. The Lord is blessing that group of people. Their church is full. Let's see, I counted the pews. There's like 28 pews, and you could have a maximum of like 8 people in a pew. And the church was pretty much full. And what really got my attention was it's full of children. They have lots of children and young families, and still plenty of white-haired people to impart their wisdom. It just looked, I was just really refreshed by it, because most of the RLDS churches have very few young people, you know,
right.
Kind of all dying out. And, the Lord's keeping the church going. And I just hope that I went there to try to meet someone. I never did find him, but, anyway, I was glad I went there. And one day, like someone said here recently, I think it was Bill. I probably don't believe it in the same sense he said, but I think the churches will come together, and the Lord has a purpose in that group of people. But I don't get a lot of the negative talk as you've been expressing here. It's just that it seems that whoever you're talking to, whatever group they're in, you know, they're very positive about it. Maybe that's naive, but I don't get out much.
Let's go on to, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I did a study on Denver Snuffers Group a couple years back, you know, just to kind of see what that was all about, and read through some of his revelations and whatnot. And I think the draw, the reason that people are drawn to this and that, you know, is because they recognize there are things that are wrong, and, you know, things have gone amiss, and they don't want to turn their backs on their faith, right? They're trying to go back to the foundations of the church, you know, as it was revealed through Joseph Smith. But I mean, from my perspective, I know very little. I see it as, you know, kind of like what you said, Bob, and what Bill thinks. You know, he's using these men in these different positions to help Latter-day Saints and RLDS and those who, you know, don't want to just walk away and throw it all in the garbage, you know, and just, you know, leave one cult for another, as they say. I think they're definitely serving a purpose to help people, you know, come to terms with the changes that have occurred and try to get back to, you know, what it was originally intended. So that's kind of how I see all the different groups that are kind of cropping up. And the Lord, I think he has a hand in each of them. Not that one is better than the other. You know, I think for certain people, they're drawn to this and others drawn to that. But hopefully in the end, we all come together and we join, you know, we're all at the base of Mount Zion. Brother Gould, I think he mentioned that we're at the base of Mount Zion. We need to get to the top of the hill together, right? That's where we're all trying to get to.
Thank you, Michael. Well put. And I think location, where you grow up, what you're exposed to, all of that has something to do with it. It does say in the sealed book, there is a section in there, I believe, in the sealed book that says each one of the three identified churches, LDS and the other two, had a purpose, and they have served that purpose, and that now it's the go forward and join everybody together. Let's look at 107. Who can read 107 for me? Who's not read? Suzanne?
Sure, I can read that. This will not only serve as a sign to identify my church in the last days and to distinguish missionaries of light in contrast to missionaries of darkness, but it will also serve as a tool to attract the attention of my elect who are in the world under the influence of darkness, of this abominable church, in order to attract the attention of those who belong to me when they see my missionaries in the streets with their white plates. This will cause many to arrest them in the streets of information, and with that, I, the Lord, will rescue a multitude of sheep of their true flock.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting that it's called a tool. A tool to attract the attention of my elect, because I notice when I'm wearing it, some people, they glance at it and they don't react. But also people start talking about it. So I can share something, and if they're interested, then I can leave a card or a message. So, yeah, it's a good tool.
That's neat, Balkia. Thank you for sharing that. It gives people the chance to, if they have a question, it gives them a chance to know, one, who to talk to, and two, that there's somebody they can approach and ask that question. Yeah. Again, it talks about the darkness and the lightness, and, you know, drawn to the light. I think it's allowing people to ask questions, those who are seeking but don't have anybody that they can talk to. It gives them an opportunity.
I think it's interesting that you kind of stumbled on that word arrest. If I go to the Portuguese and translate English, I end up with This will cause many to detain them in the streets in order to obtain information. And with this, I, the Lord, will rescue a multitude of sheep for the true flock.
That sounds better. Thank you.
I like that.
So they'll stop you and talk instead of arrest you.
Yes.
Detain you.
Well, and I just was thinking, like, I don't know. They have white name tags in the temple, right? They don't use outside of the temple. So I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just like, you know, I know that because I've been in the temple and my parents, like, have been serving every Saturday in the temple for 8 years and they just recently retired themselves from doing that. But because they got ironically nervous about having to memorize the new changes that they've made because they keep changing. Keep changing the stuff that you have to memorize. So anyway.
Oh.
I mean, because my parents.
So there's my father,
you know, they're older. What's that?
There's still more changes being done.
Yeah, they just keep, you know.
Wow.
Keep. Okay. Yeah, and that's a whole other thing that just makes me livid how much money there's.
108. But exactly. What can we get from that?
Verse
108.
My enemy, the great deceiver of mankind, has sought from the beginning of time to match his church with my own revelation. In so far as my church's name is concerned, to thus deceive even my elect at the last day. Matthew 7:2-23. So maybe we should read that.
Yeah, does anybody have that? No, they can pull that up and read it because I think that's interesting.
I've got it right here.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Is it Matthew?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Oh, then I read a different one probably.
Yeah, so people think they're doing right. They don't even know they're doing wrong, which is very, very sad. Because there had just been, I guess that's the true meaning of what sheep are.
Well, I mean, I was, y'all were there at one point. And this is the confusing part, because when you are sharing truth, which there is a mixture of truth in all this, you do feel the spirit when you're testifying of truth, you know? So it's just this, you know, yeah.
Having served an LDS mission, I mean, when I first read this, I thought, so was I a missionary of darkness? was I preaching for the wrong side? You know, I mean, I, not that I took offense to it, but I just kind of thought, well, that's interesting that the Lord would refer to that as, you know, light versus dark. And I mean, I don't know how I still feel about that. I think my mission served as a kind of a foundation for my life. And I definitely learned a lot, you know, and I think I grew closer to the Savior in those 2 years than I probably ever have in my entire life, you know, thus far. So I don't see it as like a waste of my time or that I was doing anything wrong. I see it more as, you know, helping to bring others to Christ through the the Book of Mormon and so on and so forth. So, but I don't know. I, even when I read that still, I still kind of cringe because I think, you know, was I a missionary of darkness? I don't think I was. I hope I wasn't. You know, it's just kind of that conflict in your mind. So.
Right. I mean, I served a mission in Norway and I felt like we were annoying people a lot, actually, because they were not receptive. So I think we just were. But again, I have the same thought there, Michael. Like, I don't think I was a missionary of darkness. I mean, we didn't get very far in discussing things with people because they were not interested, but we did testify of Christ. And that's what our approach was on the street, is we have a message about Christ. You know, that's what we focused on.
And I think you need to go back to the idea in the sealed book where it says that the Lord had a purpose for each one of the churches after the death of Joseph Smith. There was a purpose. So you still were doing the purpose of what the Lord wanted to have done. And like Suzanne, you just said, you were bringing Christ into even his name, mm-hmm. into people's earshot to hear that. And that's important.
Do you know where that happens to be in the sealed book, where it talks about the three branches?
No, but we're going to find it when we read, when we start doing the sealed book again.
That is, or?
Because I've looked for it several times, and I cannot recall where it's at.
Okay, if anyone knows.
Yeah. When we find it, we're all going to go, yes, there it is.
So what I then do is, if you have a PDF on the computer, if you open it in PDF, you have like a looking glass, and you can type in a word, and then all the scriptures with those words come up. So if you maybe look up three branches, then it will probably come up.
I didn't know that.
Copy of it. I don't have it on my computer, but that's a good point. Yeah.
I just found it.
Hey,
I found one of them. It's in chapter 14. I think it's the book of Moses, chapter 14, verse 27. Or no, sorry, this is the last chapter of the book, the Acts of the Three Nephites.
Okay.
And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard spake again unto his servant, look here and see another branch which I have planted, yea, a third of the Orient. And behold, I have dealt with him also and brought forth good fruit. And of these three branches, I will bring those who will serve me. It looks like that's just one reference. There might be a few more.
There's another one that I'm thinking of. Yeah. Yeah. But that's a good one. But there's another one that actually says what each of the three churches are responsible for. Or maybe it was just a lesson that John put together. I don't know. But I thought it came from the sealed book.
So that one was Acts of the Three Nephites. What was the verse? And
verse 27, and then down in verse 30, it also talks about these were the three branches from the wild olive trees planted in the lowlands of the Orient.
Let's move on. Who can read that? Bob, have you read?
Sorry, I was immersed in the sealed book looking for the reference for you.
Okay.
Can I pass? Thank you.
Fine. No, I'll read it. This occurred in this dispensation after the death of my servant Joseph Smith Jr., when that abominable organization led by Brigham Young clung to promote the name by which my church would be known in the last days. And that is in DNC 115, 3 through 5. And I also found reference in 5 through 6 about it, but they don't have that there. So they wanted to promote the name that the church was going to be known in the last days. To me, that's interesting that the name of LDS Church and the name that we carry are so close, and the changes that were made. Go ahead, Russell.
Yeah, if you go to the original document of DNC 115 and read that sentence, for thus shall my church be called in the last days, even, and in the current Doctrine and Covenants, the is capitalized because it's part of the name, but in the original, it's the is not capitalized.
It's right.
The, and then Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, it was capitalized in 1921.
Okay.
Found out that they capitalized it in the DNC.
Yeah. That was the edition that took out the lectures on faith.
Interesting year.
Yes.
And also maybe the word of wisdom. I think there was also that the word of wisdom became a rule to go in the temple, but I'm not sure, but it sounds familiar, but yeah. It was an important year, probably.
It's been a source of confusion because a lot of people who don't want organized religion, or they're not seeking, or they think Utah is fine. They just think you're really weird and nitpicky about it, not with the understanding that it's the Lord's church. Let's get it right. And they don't want to go back, because if they go back over history, they're going to find other things that bother them. So yeah, kind of hide your head in the sand.
Like that 45-page document that Russell was just showing us.
Exactly.
It's like, oh my
goodness. And you know, maybe that's a good thing that we knew some of those things by heart. I mean, I had my friend ask me the question yesterday of, well, what's the difference between what you're learning and what we know? And I said the sacrament and using wine instead of water. And immediately she pulls up the fact that this was changed by Joseph Smith when he received information from the Lord saying not to use wine because it could be poisoned. And when that was back when they were trying to poison him. And so they switched it to water. And that's when they did that. And that's why I was wrong. Because no, Joseph Smith made the change. And you know, they're just really
that DNC 27 portion that talks about water's okay was not part of the original revelation that Joseph received on that date. It was added later, and I'm not totally sure it was Joseph Smith. But the other thing is section 89. It was received later than that, and it says that sacrament and wine is for the sacrament.
Sometimes
it looks like verses 110 through 112 could all be read together.
Okay. 110 through 112. Let's go ahead and do that. Mark, do you have a copy of the book, the PDF? Or
no,
I didn't want to leave you out.
He does not have a copy.
He does.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay. But if you have an extra, right. I would love it.
Okay. I can read.
All right. Thank you, Bucky.
But in my wisdom, I caused this abominable corporation to add in the spelling of the original name given by revelation to my servant Joseph Smith Jr. the letters the, with the particular effect as opposed to the original name of my revelation, in which I identify my people in the last days as Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and not the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The name Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was used by Joseph Smith III as his father's successor until I, the Lord, determined for a wise future purpose to introduce in the past the name Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's because I, the Lord, had already predicted that there would be a change in his name on the part of those who usurped my church in the last days. This has indeed occurred, and it is now imperative that the branches of the restoration, which are the legitimate remnants of my church on earth, remain with Joseph Frederick Smith and revert to their former name. And again, I, the Lord, in my wisdom, cause the original name that I revealed to Joseph Smith Jr. in the early days of the restoration to be preserved in public domain so that my church could emerge in the last days with the translation of the sealed part of the Mormon plates and under the proper authority of my linear of the linear priesthood, and for making full use of the revelation intended for the church in the last days, in order to be known to us as Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Behold, this is a matter of research for you, in order to present these words of mine to my servant Joseph Frederick Smith and to his assistant, whom I have chosen in advance to accompany you in all things, and my words be assured through your media. Just as you can search what you call the internet. Research carried out and corresponding with Moroni's words in the QR code 1 on the last page of the book. And that corresponds to a Wikipedia page about the name of the church.
Right. And that linear priesthood is lineal
priesthood. Oh, sorry.
No, it says linear in our English. Oh, yeah. But the English is wrong. It should be lineal.
Okay. The R becomes an L.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
But I wonder, because on the name tags it says Church of Christ.
Yes, because in Brazil you can't use that name, and they've gone to the Supreme Court. They now can use the word Mormon, and it's the LDS Church appealed to the Supreme Court in Brazil. That was on July 27th, and I don't know what the result of that appeal is. Do you know anything, Robert?
Well, the last I heard is that Mauricio said there was some filing of documents that needed to take place by a certain date. The LDS Church did not file on that date, and Mauricio said, well, that meant it was good for us, quote his words. And but the case, I think, is still hasn't been finished yet. One thing what Brother Russell said about the use of the name Mormon, what I remember Brother Jome Vendemiati saying is that yes, they won the right at that level of court to use the word Mormon, but only in the exercise of our faith. So, which means during our church, we couldn't use the word Mormon on t-shirts and sell them to the public. Whatever that means, but yeah. Only in the exercise of our faith can we use the word Mormon, like we would use the word, Moses or something else.
There's been a lot of talk about the name itself, and I hear people just call it the Second Invitation. I'm hoping that as we go forward, it's going to get sorted out better.
We really don't have a name, do we? With all these ites. So, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I think we, if identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, and Mauricio chose the name Church of Christ because it says, well, thinking ahead, Jesus comes back, he'll rename the church Church of Christ. We read that here somewhere and of course that was that not the original name of the restoration?
Wow, yes.
And so, but yeah, the problem in Brazil, we and Joseph Frederick Smith had originally registered in Missouri. He wanted to incorporate the church in Missouri. That was his idea of setting the church up, the Second Invitation Church up in Missouri. He wanted to incorporate, in other words, have a nonprofit corporation, which many churches are. They're incorporated as a not-for-profit organization. But there was a lot of, but anyway, the Missouri eventually rejected him to use that name, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He initially filed those papers, but it was knocked back. Then he felt like he was led to use the word restructured Church of Jesus Christ of the Last Days. I think that's what he went with. But Mauricio, I think, felt that Joseph should have fought for the use of the proper name. But he didn't. But anyway, we found out, or at least I found out, that you don't have to incorporate to be to function as a church. You can operate as an unincorporated association, at least in Missouri, and I assume other states are the same. John Pratt followed that idea when he set up the organization there, the church in Utah.
Yeah,
he didn't file any corporations. He just notified the Secretary of State that he was going to use that name. And then I don't think there's any formal organization papers. I don't know if you have a bank account, but if you would have a bank account, like in Missouri, if you're unincorporated association, the banks recognize that, but you still have to have bylaws and officers and an organization of some kind, some structure. But it's not a technical, it's not a corporation as such.
The thing that's interesting is when you're not a corporation, you're actually more protected by the Constitution than you are as a corporation, because you write part of the First Amendment.
Yes, mm-hmm. but the problem is litigation. The first thing you read about is that if you have a branch, say that's a unincorporated association, then every member of that branch is liable for the debts of all the others. Where in a corporate, excuse me, in a corporation, you have very limited or exempt liability for the debts of the organization, the members do, whatever the legal parts are, but it gives you some protection. So anyway.
John did a lot of research on that, and a friend of his worked with him. It comes down to his name was Rick, and it comes down to the fact that we are not a corporation. We are individuals, and that the earth itself was given to all of us. We didn't, buying and selling of real estate is like non-existent, because who really owned it? I mean, it's God's to give to us. And so when you're on this earth, and God had said, this is the promised land, you can't buy it when the person who's selling it to you doesn't own it. But that's the way the corporations have brought it together. You can stand and say that you are not a corporation. And there's a lot of going back to the Old Testament, into Hebrews, I think Rick did, that indicates that you belong to the Lord and not to the government. And so that's the premise that John was using when he established that, is going all the way back to the old laws before government started with corporations and everything. So there is valid foundation for that. People have taken it to court, have fought that. It's hard, because the trouble is, just like you said, Bob, if you're not in the law, you're not of the law, then the law doesn't apply to you. And in order to go through courts and systems, the law has to apply to you. So there's a big controversy. And the only way it comes out is when or if the judge handling the situation recognizes the fact that you are not of the law, and therefore give you that statue of being an individual. Difficult really to come about, but that's how John got that put through without any trouble. Nobody actually picked up on it, and nobody like fought against it, so it went through. So
how much longer do you want to record?
I think that unless anybody else has something that they want to say,
I can give you the references that we were looking for.
Oh, good.
About the three branches, Isaiah speaks of the three trees.
Yay.
It's in the Revelations, not the sealed book. It's in Article 1 that we've been reading. Article 1, verse 11 and verse 28. And Article 20, verse 16.
Okay, so Article 1, verse what?
11.
Okay.
And 28. And then Article 20, verse 16.
And the Isaiah reference is chapter 60, verse 13. The fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree.
Oh, yes. So
that's chapter 60 in the seal book, right?
Isaiah 60:13 is where it talks about those three trees. But then Brother Bob gave the references in the Revelations where that's also referenced.
So Article 1, verse 11, Article 28, Article 20, verse 16, and then the cross references to Isaiah 60.
Oh, it's Article 1, verse 11 and verse 28.
Oh, okay.
And then Article 20, verse 16.
Okay.
And I could just add at the end here in DNC chapter 10, the Lord gives his definition of the church, and I think we've talked about this before. He says, this is my doctrine. Whosoever repenteth and cometh unto me, the same as my church. Whosoever declareth more or less than this, the same is not of me, but is against me. Therefore, he is not of my church. And now behold, whosoever is my church and endureth in my church to the end, and endureth of my church to the end, him I will establish upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. So if we go to the Lord's definition, if we've repented and we're earnestly seeking to come unto him, we're included in his church, not any corporation or legal structure. I guess it's a church without walls in that case.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Thanks, all of you, for your help on that.
Okay, Jeannie, are we done?
Yes.